Today on The Grave Talks, part two of our conversation about the haunted history of the Beatty Mansion with owner Michael Burghardt. As long as you've owned the mansion, have you ever felt like that when you've been in there? Like, I got to get out of here. They're not welcoming me today. I'm not feeling good here.
I haven't. The only thing sometimes I'd be in there when it's just pitch black. If there aren't lights on, especially at night, it can be just pitch black. And I've come down the long staircase before where it's pitch black. And with the thought, if something evil is here, now would be a good time to push me down the stairs. I mean, not like I'm inviting it, but that if it's here, I'm going to feel it probably right now. And I never did. I never did. But I had that sensation. So that's kind of strange.
Yeah. I don't know how you stay in there by yourself.
I don't know if I would today. Let's put it that way. The most aggressive the spirits have ever been is when Kelly Matthews, who Kelly's like my adopted son. I was a big brother to him when he was seven, and I was a sophomore in college at the University of Illinois. And I took him on in the Big Brother program, and we stayed best friends he's 53 now. But he stayed there right after I bought it. I called him up and I said, "Hey, Kelly, don't know how to put this, but I bought this place in St. Joseph, Missouri, and I really need your help. And if you know of anybody else that could help, I could sure use them too." So he rounded up his brother and another guy, and they came over and spent almost 6 months living there as a group. And we'd all eat together on the tables. And I had eight people at one time, all working, trying to get the place cleaned up. I would go back to Florida, and when the project wound down, everybody left except Kelly. He had to stay there because I had to have to keep somebody on site. He would stay there, and the spirits did not want him there. Keep in mind, this is the old South. Missouri was part of the Confederacy. Armstrong Beatty was a Southern sympathizer. And Kelly being black, we found out that the room he was sleeping in was Armstrong's sitting room. Spirits got really aggressive chasing him out, to the point where, and this is a guy that's almost 6'2 and probably 220 of solid muscle, they had him so frightened, he borrowed the neighbor's truck and hightailed it for Kansas City, got on the Greyhound, left the truck in short-term parking, got on the Greyhound bus and headed back to Springfield, Illinois. And I didn't talk to him for 2 years. I was so mad until he told me what the spirits had, what they had done. I mean, like loud banging on the door, apparitions in the window when he would pull in with the truck and the lights would shine on the basement. He described this man standing there with a train conductor hat on and overalls, just as clear as day. He was sure there was somebody in there. I had two dogs that I'd adopted from this farm to be the house dogs, Armstrong and Betty. I called them male and female labs, lab mix. And I'd gotten them at this farm auction. I was at this auction. This little boy comes walking up and he says, he's got five puppies falling along behind him. He goes, "Mister, do you want to buy a puppy for $1? I started laughing. I said, "I might take two." And I did. Yeah. I gave him three. I tipped him, but, I got two dogs and they were great. And Kelly said he would come back. The dogs he would have in a cage when he would leave, so they wouldn't run around and make a mess. They weren't house trained, shall I say. And so he would put them in a cage and they'd be locked in this bathroom, and he would go out, go grab something to eat or run out for a little bit, and he'd come back, and the dogs would not only be out of the cage, they'd be out of the bathroom, they'd be at the back door.
Oh, wow.
And he said when he opened the door, it was like they would just come flying out, like they did not want to be inside. They did not want to be in there. And he said between that experience and seeing this apparition in the basement window. He said there were a couple of nights where he actually slept in the cab of the truck with the two dogs because none of them wanted to go inside.
I'm so glad that you two ended up talking again.
Yeah, absolutely. It took 2 years because I was furious. I mean, we had to go to Kansas City and find the truck where it had been towed to and, you know, the expense of all that and everything. So it took about 2 years. And then he told me, I'm like, I wish you would have told me.
And maybe, you know, he didn't want to sound crazy.
That's it. Exactly. Yep. That's what he told me. He's like, I was sure you'd think I was crazy or something.
But imagine what he encountered
too much
to be that afraid that he did that.
Yeah,
because it doesn't sound like that was his character.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But he had to get away.
In fact, when the producer from Paranormal Lockdown heard his story, they said, we'd like to fly you up to New York and interview you more and hear more of this story. So it ended up being on My Horror Story, season 1, episode 8, called Encountering Evil. That's Kelly on there that talks about
his I've got to watch that.
Yeah, definitely check it out. And you'll see what a big guy he is and not someone that's easily afraid. But when we found out that it was Armstrong's sitting room he had been sleeping in and some of the history, then it kind of made sense. But during the weekend, they communicated with these spirits and ultimately they said, they're all free. That was the message they keep getting. They're all free now. They're all free. And with that, Kelly felt at ease. He came back for the weekend and he said there was just a difference. He had this different feeling. He felt welcomed instead of, you know, shunned away. But he said he'd never sleep in that room again for any amount of money.
I'd be surprised if he'd even sleep in the house again after that.
He won't. In fact, his girlfriend came with him. She wouldn't get out of the car in the parking lot. And each time he would go in, she would spray him with holy water. She had gone and gotten a bunch of holy water before. She's Catholic, and she'd gotten a bunch of holy water before the trip. And she gave a bottle to me, and she said, but each time he was going to go in, she would douse him with this holy water to protect him.
See, that's how bad that experience was for him. He's like, go ahead, douse me with holy water.
The first time when he came back, because I still was like, he's probably exaggerating. You know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, he's probably exaggerating a little bit. He was legitimately petrified to go in because I was excited to show him. I was like, I want to show you everything we've done and all the improvements and everything. He hadn't been back in 10 years, maybe. And he was legitimately afraid.
See, I don't blame him on that. I do not blame him.
When I heard the whole story, I'm like, I can understand. I can understand now.
We talked about Eliza and Armstrong in the beginning, but circling back to them, I've read that Eliza's spirit is said to be there.
Actually, both of them.
Both of them?
Both of them, yeah. Armstrong wanders the halls and we'll hear him whistling. Eliza's up there. She's not particularly fond of men. She lets it be known to in the voice box that where she says, you know, do you want him here? No, leave now. Because she still considers it, I guess, her house. And that we're just checking in. So we always try to pay our proper respects to her. Both Armstrong and Eliza are still up in that hallway and his sitting room. We've seen him hit there. A couple of people have seen him coming out of the upstairs kitchen and going across the hallway. Rob Long had seen a full body apparition of him. We assume it's him, but other people have said he's definitely there. There's a lot of different spirits. We've had a number of different mediums come in, and one just came in and she was walking and she was just staring into the parlor. And she said, you would not believe all these people that are just standing there all in period clothes, just wondering who all we all are. But what we find is particularly people, and I think that's what draws people to come back, because each time they're less, the spirits are less afraid to come out. They manifest themselves more frequently, the more comfortable they are with different groups. A lot of it depends on how many times they've visited before, but it's really rare when we have somebody that says, well, we didn't really experience that much activity. Almost never. I can count on one hand in 15 years that anybody said that. We have only opened up to paranormal groups since Halloween of 2017 was the first year.
Because when you bought it, you were going to do more of a B&B hotel.
Yeah.
And then you can't find anybody to actually do the work because everybody's terrified.
Do all the work.
Which
yep.
is in, very interesting to me. But at what point did you think, I'm just going to keep it? Or did you just feel like even maybe a little bit you didn't have a choice and this is yours?
Yeah, that's it. That's it exactly. I would expect I'll probably have it when I die. But the only thing I've always said is if it turned evil, if evil spirits got in and made it their home, that's when I would consider selling, probably right away, because I don't like that.
I mean, it definitely had one in the basement area.
Yeah, for sure. You know? Yeah. In the basement, we've got, there's this big pile of shoes that were left from the residence. And they've been there from the time I bought it, but it's a big pile of shoes. It's almost like you see those pictures from like Auschwitz or something. It's kind of creepy, but you can't stop looking at it because it's just eerie. And that's the case down there. People have moved them and they've been moved. They end up moving back.
I was just going to ask you,
they have to stay in this pile.
Had you ever, like when you bought it and you discovered that, which would have creeped me out. I don't know why exactly, but seeing a huge pile of shoes, knowing all of those people, I'm assuming are now deceased.
Oh, for sure.
And why did they just pile the shoes up here? I would have a million questions in my head.
Yeah.
But you never considered throwing them out. It was like they belong here.
No.
There's a reason.
Exactly. Yep. When we clean and we throw a lot of things out, but not anything like that, because it's just seemed like it was meant to be there.
But that had to have been a creepy feeling when you discovered that for the first time.
Yes, definitely. And that's, ironically enough, that's in the same tunnel that where we hear the growl. And I don't know if there's any correlation, but it's only about 15 feet from where everyone hears the growl, or about at least four people, I think.
Well, and you just think of all the people who have been in that building over the years, in like the one who hopefully is no longer there. Not everybody was good people. You know, it's not like...
No. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't the happiest place on earth.
Especially, you know, home for the friendless.
Yeah. Yeah. Home for little wanderers.
And that one breaks my heart, because that really implies that these kids have no homes. And so...
For sure.
They're just little wanderers, so we'll keep them here for a while, and they'll go wander again.
One of the obituaries we've read, and her mother's maiden name was Beatty, but she and her husband, in the obituary, it states how they never had, in their 60 years of marriage, they never had children of their own, yet they had adopted 15 orphans off the street and gave them a forever home.
15.
That's 15.
In St. Joseph, Missouri. Like, that's a lot of kids. That
it really is. Yep.
Oh, I see a dog, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to pull over and help.
Yeah, me too.
Let alone a child. I've never encountered a child wandering, and, breaks my heart.
Yep.
Now, so are you primarily open? Do you do tours there, daytime tours? Is it more just paranormal investigation?
We've been strictly paranormal investigations. I believe we're going to open say once a month. We get so many requests for people that like to have a tour, but since we don't have anybody living on site, it's a matter of, you know, one of our Marianne or one of our other hosts coming in and opening up and giving the tour and everything. So we'll probably do it like the last Saturday of the month.
Well, and Marianne, who you just mentioned, is, and I wrote this down, the historian, general manager, lead investigator, and psychic medium for the Beatty Mansion.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting to me, because it sounds like she'd be a fascinating person to give a tour, but is she also drawn to the place the way you are?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, she tells the story when from the time she was 10 years old, she grew up in St. Joe, but from the time she was 10 years old, she said she just felt drawn to it. When after I bought it, she reached out a few times and I kind of put her off, but she was so persistent. And so finally I said, okay, about 3 years ago, I said, well, okay, come on, I want to meet you and let's see if maybe we can work together. And when I found her passion for the place, her and her husband both, when I saw their passion for it, I couldn't say no. And she treats it like it's her own home. I mean, she just loves the place and you know.
Well, that helps you a lot.
It's got a grip. Oh, absolutely. It's definitely got a grip on her as well.
Now you can get information on, and I was looking at the website, you could book over the website if you want to do an investigation there. And it's the Beatty.
Yes.
B-E-A-T-T-I-E. The
correct.
Beatty.
Yep.
Not Beatty.
Yes.
The Beatty Mansion.
And what's I think unusual about ours is we turn it loose to the groups. We don't hover around. We don't have anybody that spends a night with you guys. It's just, we have sleeping arrangements we have a bunk room that's heated as well as the library is heated. So we have in the adjoining bathroom. So there's facilities even during the winter months where people can come and they can get warm and then they can go into the rest of the mansion and investigate and then come back in and get warm. And when they're ready to either take a cat nap or sleep, you know, we've got the beds for them. And we also have internet service, obviously. And people can live stream. A lot of groups do live stream. And when you investigate, their check-in's always at 5 p.m. And it goes all the way until noon the next day.
Oh, you know, you're there a long time.
Early morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it gives people 19 hours to investigate as much as they want.
What I like about that, too, is it gives you some daylight hours. And, you know, because it's not like everything's just haunted at night.
You know, right.
They can come out during the day. They can be there in the morning.
Yes.
They can be there at lunchtime. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
So I think it would be interesting to experience both sides of the house. I always feel
it does
feel lighter, like literally when it's light outside, like it doesn't always feel so heavy as it does at night.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Definitely.
But I think as an investigator, it would be good to do both. And with that, you give them both.
So, we've got, like I said, a kitchen with a refrigerator, with a microwave, with a coffee pot. And so we try to make it as, you know, visitor friendly as we can without taking away from what it's all about, which is the paranormal activity.
Well, I can't wait to come see it.
Just let me know when. You're more than welcome.
I'm going to come see it. I don't know that I'd be brave enough to spend the night, and I don't know about the basement. You're going to have to get back with me on that.
I can understand.
And that wraps up our conversation about the haunted history of the Beatty Mansion. For more information on paranormal investigations, visit their website at thebeattymansion.com or search for Beatty Mansion on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, you'll get everything commercial free. Become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free. You can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.